You are my sons and my daughters. I sent my only begotten Son to die on a cross, that once again, like in the garden with Adam, I could walk with you. Once again, I could talk with you. Once again, that we could have that sweet fellowship. Once again, there would be no boundary, nothing between you and me, says God. And I kept hearing the Lord say, what will keep me from my sons and my daughters? What will keep me from you? There is nothing, nothing that you have done. There's nothing that you are doing. There's nothing in your past or present that will keep you from my love, says God. For you are my son and you are my daughter. I'm telling you, this morning I just kept hearing the Lord say that I love you. That I love you. That my love never fails. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your situations. But I'm telling you, the love of God is here this morning. But He's here as a Father. He's here as a Father speaking to us that says, son, daughter, run to me. I am waiting, and there's nothing. There's no longer a barrier. There's no longer anything between you and me. Lord says, ask and you shall receive, and it shall be given to you. Come on. There's sometimes in our own minds we put boundaries. We put barriers between us and God. But God is here this morning. God is here to break those walls, to shatter those lies, those thought patterns, to disconnect them. Because nothing will keep you from the love of God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, we surrender. Father, we surrender to you. Father, any walls, any thoughts, any patterns, anything that's been spoken over us, God. Father, from the enemy, be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Father, be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, something is happening right now. Wow. Father, do what only you can do. Remove only what you can remove, God. Right there. Come on. Wow. Father, restore our sonship and our daughter. Father, restore it to us, O God. Restore it to our hearts and our minds, O God. Come on, God's doing something in this moment. Wow. It's supernatural. Wow. Man, the love of God's in this room. He's rushing in right now. I keep seeing the train of His robe right now. Come on. The breath of God, the love of God is rushing in this room. Wow. Father, restore us, O God. Restore us, God. Make us new. Come on, wow. A new and a fresh. Father, make us new and afresh today, God. Wow. In the deep places, God. Father, those deep places that Lord, we never let anybody in. Lord, come and rescue us, oh God. Come and heal us, oh God. Please, oh God, come and heal us, oh God. Wow, wow, come on. Right there, let Him take it. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Praise God. Praise God. We're thanking you, Lord, for coming and speaking to us. Again, let's say it together. I'm crucified with Christ. Let's say it again. I am crucified with Christ. I've been buried with Him, and I am resurrected with Him. I enjoy the resurrection of heavenly places with Him. We are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank You. We praise You. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Hallelujah. That was good stuff. Finding out if you can find a lane. You don't need 1,000 songs. You don't need 1,000 words. You need a lane to the courts of heaven. Amen. And when we seek Him, when we truly look and even the realms of the prophetic, you see, in a fivefold ministry with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, it's that place that we're wanting to find. What do we need? What tool do we need to get to the place that we need to be at? And sometimes it's evangelism. Other times it's placing things in order. Other times it's a prophetic word that will just split that thing wide open. And this year we heard the prophetic word at the beginning of the year, or I should say earlier than that, in November conference. There was a word of the Lord to the women of this house and northern Minnesota and Canada and many different places, Panama, I know, had. And it was the word of the Lord was, it was the year of the woman. It was the year of the woman. Come on, women, you can get excited about this. You know, if I would have said it's the year of the men, you'd be, oh, here we got missed again. No, it's the year of the woman. And women are very, very important on the front line ministries of the nations. Amen. They're the birthplaces. They're birthing things. They're the birthers of vision and understanding of what God's doing. And then we also heard, of course, this really connects with motherhood, is it's the year of the teens. It's the year of the young people. It's the year of a generation that has not been reached to the adequate dimension of where it needs to be reached. We have to go to that place and find what will reach the teens and the young people of the world that we're living in. And so we have an opportunity to go to Africa, do exactly that. Daughters, mothers, and teens. And we're excited about it. We're ecstatic about it. I would ask you, the first place I would ask you to be one that would pray. Because what happens, if you don't have good prayer covering, you are open to enemy forces that are trying to stop the move of God on the earth. And you can be a vessel, a major vessel of the move of God by you saying, I'm going to stand in prayer. We're going to break through in prayer. Glow, Darlene is going to be one of our main speakers in Africa, in Uganda. But Aglow has a tremendous network of intercessory. And so I just encourage you, please, for all of our sakes, for Pastor Tom and Pastor Danny and their wives and Darlene, myself, would you pray at this time that there could be a breakthrough that would just be mind-boggling for us? We have an opportunity. Steve is coming here next week. He'll be preaching here on Saturday. At our men's prayer meeting. So men, would you just get anyone out? I was just thinking, I don't even think it wouldn't be bad for the women to come, because I don't care, really. I guess it's the year of the woman, so we can open up this sanctuary and Steve can speak to us about what's going to happen in his Jerusalem. We're going to his Jerusalem. Everyone has a Jerusalem. Steve's Jerusalem is in Kampala, Uganda. So we get to go to his Jerusalem, and we just believe that we're guests there, and we believe that we're going to break through Community Church International. Amen. And having a chance to be part of that, we as the team, each one of us put in $2,000 to do what we need to do, to get over there, to have room and board, and be able to make it back $2,000. If you have any inkling in your heart to say, hey, you know what, I can do $100. I can do $100. And 60 people with $100 is going to feed almost 2,000 people, or at least assist with the feeding, the boarding, lodging, and the food. So if you could consider that, we've laid down what we can lay down, and so we're needing help. So if that's you, that'd be a fantastic deal. Next week we're going to have a Sunday morning service and money gathering for this trip, for the people that are coming from other countries and different places. So you can consider that, and we're having that next Sunday after. So if you're got somebody that's hungry, bring them on, and they can get a meal right after the service. All right? All right. So anything else, Danny? Anything else? Okay. Danny will be sending out a bulletin to what to bring this next week for that meal. Anyone has a prophetic word? Anyone has something that God's been stirring on the inside of you? Zach, was that you that just, oh, okay, you just come in. I thought you had a prophetic word was coming on in. All right, anyone get any great revelation this last week? Yeah, Danny.
Well, I just know that we're supposed to go to Africa. Because anytime you say that I'm willing to do something, then things start happening. They always do. I mean, pardon me, but all hell breaks loose. That's what happens. As soon as you say, I'm willing. Because I believe in my heart that the enemy doesn't want us in Africa. He doesn't want us there. Because we're going to affect people's lives while we're there. Because the spirit is contagious. The spirit is contagious. And it will take you to places, and it will allow you to do things that you never imagined. That you never imagined. I grew up as a poor boy, a farmer's kid. And I never believed that God would take me the places where he's taken me. I've been in Nepal 5 times. Thailand 2x. Guatemala 3 times. Panama 1x. Nicaragua. Well, Guatemala, Nicaragua. I never believed that God would do that for me. I wasn't even supposed to be walking. I wasn't supposed to be walking. I was supposed to have been in a wheelchair by the time I was 10 years old. Today, I'm walking. I've danced on the mountaintops. And I'm going to continue to dance. Because that's what my God can do. My God can do anything. You simply have to say, I'm willing. I'm willing. Yes and amen.
All right. Let's stretch your hands towards Danny. Release it on him right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Release the preaching ability, Lord, beyond anything that he has ever seen or has ever experienced. For Linda and him, that this will be a new day, a new time, a new season for their lives. God, we speak good things. We speak healing. We speak all great things happening. It's a new time. It's a new place to walk into. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Bless you, Danny. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. This is good stuff. Very good stuff. Breakfast of champions. Eat it. You will do very well for yourself. Amen. So we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom with our tithes and offerings. We do this each week, but we get to sow into the kingdom, as Danny says, we get to sow into the kingdom of God with our first fruits. So, you know, I mean, this is an opportunity, and if you've been in your daily readings, this is what it's all about, is was talking about the first fruit, first fruit, first fruit. Yes. And when you sow the first fruit, then the first fruit is a small area, and then all of heaven opens up and starts pouring out blessings that you cannot contain. And I'm waiting for those times, and maybe it's my belief system that needs to be built more. But Father, today we believe, Lord, as we sow our first fruits, as we sow our tithe, as we sow our offering, as we bring it to the house of the Lord, God, we'd have breakthrough power this spring. God, that we're not going to start out slow. We're going to start out running. God, we're going to start out believing that God is doing a mighty, mighty work in every realm of our lives. Father, bless our children, bless our businesses, bless everything, Lord, that we consider in our mind and think. And God, that you would move ahead of us with angelical visitation every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. If you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. You can bring your offerings up now. Hallelujah. Well, we have this international speaker that's coming to us all the way from south of Thief River Falls today, and he's going to be speaking mighty and great things that we're going to hear how important salvation is. How many are saved here today? Yes. Oh, okay, let the redeemed say so get them redeemers way up in the air. Yeah, this is kind of a wave. This is wave up in the air. Hallelujah. So, international speaker Tom Ramsey, would you please come, pastor, apostle, whatever else I could throw on you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, worship. Praise and worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, it's fun to come and follow the worship when the worship's like that. And you just enter in and step into what God is doing. Before I get started, yesterday we got a chance to go see a movie. It was called The Unplanned Movie. Wow. Michaela, would you come up for a second and just share? I had an opportunity to bring my daughters to the movie. China oversight of it is actually a woman that worked as a director of a Planned Parenthood facility by Houston. And the story goes up, she discovers something about what's going on there, and she has a transformation about all that. But it's a very detailed movie, very explaining movie of it, of some reality. So we got to bring Kayla. So I asked her if she could share a little bit about it. Need a little plug for it. Thank you. It's Michaela, everybody. There we go.
How I felt with the movie was like I felt hurt for the children and for the moms that were going through it. I felt hurt because the moms weren't getting told the truth about what's really going on. And then they showed exactly what happens with an abortion, and it was really hard to see. It was, it hurt, it broke my heart to watch the mom go through that and to see what happened to the baby.
Come on.
And the baby was helpless, like it was trying to fight for its life. And that's when it broke me, because I just want to do something about that, because I want to be the voice for those children that don't have the voice. It was, I mean, the message was great with the woman at the end, like how she realized what was going on, because she was in the dark. And then when she found out what was really going on, she finally took a stand and went out and tried to get the Planned Parenthoods shut down. And I thought that was brave for what she did, to go against what she was for so long. And, but yeah, I just feel like I want to do something about it to help those children that don't have a voice, that, and the moms that are hurting after that whole thing happened.
Wow. I would not go to that movie, and don't leave there expecting to do nothing, because you can't after you watch a movie like that. And one, I'm not going to spoil it, but when you go to something like that, there's a secret that they didn't want the people out there to know. And she said the secret was this: when people are outside the gates praying, they said some days we would lose 50-75% of those that were coming, but we would never tell them that, because otherwise that would have encouraged them. But she said, I want you to know something, that when you're out there praying at the gates of an abortion clinic or praying in general, it changes things. So the enemy wants perception. Again, a lot of this movie was about revealing the light of truth in a situation. And she began to see, and she stepped into the light, and it changed, began to change her. But the power of prayer, see, the enemy doesn't want you to know, as Jake was talking about intercession, he doesn't want you to know the power of prayer and intercession. And you don't even see anything happening. Those people outside the gates never saw anything change. All they saw was people continually go in, but they never saw the people that went around, because they changed their mind. They didn't know what was going on. And so many times the enemy tries to discourage us and say, you know, you're not doing anything, don't pray. And you take the bait and you say, I'm not going to pray. I'm not. It's a lie from the enemy. It's something that you believe in. So it was. I recommend it. Next week, Jenny and I are willing to take another group. If someone wants to go, we'll go with you again, because it's that powerful. And knowing my wife, she's already looked at every Planned Parenthood in the state of Minnesota, and she's already got it charted out. So beware. She was on it, man. She was on it. It's like when we went to Florida. It was so nice. She's already stopping for a house in Florida. I'm like, that woman, she wants to go for it. So she's going for it. It's a blessing. So praise the Lord. Powerful movie. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Come on. Holy Spirit, you are guiding us into all truth. Jesus, you said you came into the world, and it was a light unto the world, Lord Jesus. That we wouldn't, as Michaela was saying, we wouldn't have to be in the darkness any longer. Father God, in the dark places, we pray, Lord, as things continue to happen, Lord, the light of the revelation of the word be released in our hearts, Father God. Hallelujah. As you're speaking into our hearts, Lord, just I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we, on the 11 things that we released to the congregation, I'm on number 2 right now, talking about being born again. And sometimes we read over things and in the Bible, whether it's daily readings or something, and we can just glance over things that are so incredibly significant. You glance over just even the thought of being born again. How many times have you read scriptures about being born again? A lot, right? You must be born again. A familiar one is in John 3, verse 1, if you want to turn your Bibles there. But this is the encounter with Jesus and the teaches Nicodemus about being born again. And Jesus replied in verse 3, he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God This is so significant. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. As Michaela was just talking about, being in the dark. And Jesus was a light. He said it was a light that came into the world. They could not comprehend it. The whole aspect of being born again is being revealed here, as Jesus says. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born? So this was the thought. Nicodemus was thinking of the natural, but Jesus was going into the supernatural. He began in verse 5 saying, "Very truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit." There is a transformation that takes place. There is a supernatural event that was coming again on the inside. He said, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit." That is a significant miracle and transformation that everyone who comes to Christ happens inside of them, is that there is a born again. That is so incredibly powerful and significant, and it is the key to transformation. It is the key that changes, opens up our eyes to the kingdom of God. How, the question, part of the question when we watch this movie is, how could someone get caught up in all this? I mean, right now it just blows my mind. But you hear of a transformation that happens when Jesus comes into our lives. There is a transformation that happens in our heart, and we begin to think differently. We begin to see differently. The things that were held against us are released because this price of sin and the condemnation of sin has been wiped off on the cross. So there's a transformation. He says, you're being born again. Jesus went to the cross that we would be born again. Come on. 1 Peter. Let's go through the list here. 1 Peter, if you turn to there. Chapter 1, verse 3. Peter is, again, something so powerful and significant. He says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Come on. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You've been saved for a long time, and you have walked a life, and you forget the very power that has been your inheritance, the newness of life that you have now been given. We could forget all the joy and the adulation of being just saved, knowing that you're saved, knowing that I am something different, that I am born again. It's a new birth. I am something on the earth that has never been seen before. Something changed. And the question is, what is that? It should be, who am I now, Lord Jesus, that you are my Savior? Who are you? Who am I now, Lord, in my life that I've been born again? What is next? And I think that's some of the questions that comes on when he says, and into an inheritance in verse 4 that could never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. There is a whole new inheritance, a lineage, because the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it says in the Word, now dwells in me. That is significant and so powerful. I have to read Dave Wagner's word for 2019, because the Lord is intentional, and he's not taking us somewhere where he has not spoken. He has spoken the word, and he intentionally does that because he wants to know, this is where I want to take you, Caitlin. Katie. Am I okay? Sorry. This is where I want to take the church. This is what I'm doing on the earth right now. This is where I'm wanting to bring you. So let's listen to where he wants to bring us. He says, "I hear the Holy Spirit saying, look up and lock your eyes with mine. I want to give you heaven's perspective." Can you get heaven's perspective? Does that belong to you? Absolutely. I'm born again. Heaven's perspective belongs to the believer. Because he's been born again, as Jesus was saying, it's impossible. But now that you're born again, heaven's perspective is your inheritance. So this is God speaking to you. Don't let the distractions of the world and the spirit of this age taint your vision. Keep your eyes on the prize and stay in a place of peace. Do you have an idea of where the Lord is wanting to bring you in this season of time? Come on. In a place of peace. And I do that from a standpoint of, I am born again, I am a new believer. Right? Something changed in me. Right? Did something change in you? Come on down. Come on, Noy. I'm going to let him share, and then I'm going to share about him because I'm going to see what he's going to say. You share about the transformation that takes place. Go ahead, buddy.
Let me tell you about, a little bit about me. I grew up in the streets of California. I've done it all, gangs, drugs. This is me. When I met God and God saved me, and this is when I didn't meet God. I did it all, and back then my security and love, it was my gang and the drugs. That was my important thing in my life back then. There was so many times that God, he saved me from getting killed, from a lot of things. There's one night that I remember that I was in drugs, and I was laying down with my two babies right next to me, and I was listening to rap music, and I decided to change the radio station to gospel music. And when I was listening to the first song, I was looking at my babies, and at the same time I was praying to God, I was like, you know, God, I'm sick and tired of this life, and I want you to change it. I'll do anything. I'll read your word. I'll listen to Christian music forever. And there was something that, something happened that when I was listening to the second song, I started crying of happiness. When I was crying, I was praying to God that to change my life. I want to be new again, to help me to get away from the drugs and gangs. He heard me because I was feeling so great, so happy, and crying. I couldn't stop crying. And I look at my babies. I put my hand on them. I put a cross in the forehead, and the next day, I wasn't paying attention to the drugs. I stay away from all the gangs. My brother will bring gang members in there, guns and everything. And I used to stay in my room with my babies, listen to Christian music. That was my thing. That's why I always listen to Christian music. But yeah, it feels so good. I'm addicted now. I feel like I'm addicted to God. And from being four times relapsed from the powerful drug, which is crystal meth, 0% of people are going to make it on their own. And I thank to God that he gave me the tool. He gave me the power, the wisdom to just change my life and just get away from all that. And I'm just so grateful. I cannot explain to you how good it feels having Jesus in my heart. It's unbelievable. Now I feel, back then, with gangs and drugs, that was my love. That was love, security. Now, and my other hand here, when Jesus saved me, I feel peaceful. Joy, happiness, love, and it's so beautiful having Jesus in my heart. Anywhere I go, I'm always listening to Christian music. I mean, that's how God changed me. So I'll stick around with Christian music and reading His Word, and no matter what, I will never change God for nothing. It's always going to be in my heart now. And I would like to thank Jeff for opening the doors of his house for me and my two babies. I would like to thank Pastor Jake and all of you guys for opening the doors from this church. So, yeah, That was my speech.
Awesome job. Great job. Thanks. Wow. Come on. I want to thank you for testifying. So I come into my house, and I have this. Jenny and I have been working on our house. We got it back, and Noe's working up in the upper part, and we're in the lower part. I come walking in, and this music is just cranked. Like, I just, it's, and once in a while, there's, whoa! And I'm just like, man. And I can hear this heavenly singing up in heaven. I was like, man, what is going on up there? And I was capturing again just the joy of salvation. Where did that go? I mean, where does that go? And as he's sitting there, and he's just being an example to me, this is why the body needs each other. There's just this constant feeding off each other. You just forget that you're born again, you're saved, you have a Jesus, and you're just worshiping the Lord. And this is what that prophetic word comes into effect right there. He's walking it out. That prophetic word is being walked out right now in his life. He says he's staying in peace. He says, I don't care. I'm going to play that music. I'm going to crank it up. And it's great. It's noises that I've never heard before. But it's from heaven, man, because I could hear it outside. I was putting garbage in, and he cracked the window open, and you could hear it outside down the street. And I said, this is great. But that, I just put a smile on my face. The joy of our salvation. So that's a new life. That's who we are. So in it talks about in 2 Corinthians, and I'm hitting the scriptures here that are on that card. It says, either way, Christ's love in 2 Corinthians 5:14 controls us. Come on, we are just lost in his love. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. And this is what Noah was just representing with two hands. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So here in our Christian walk, we have this time, and I remember Peter McHugh talking about these exchanges, that they come in moments in our life is that we're born again and we're a new creation. Well, what does that look like now in the experiences that we're having? What does the new life look like now that Danny said, all hell broke loose in my life? Because Noah was just testifying about a transformation that took place in his life. Now, did something happen to your salvation? Are you still born again or not? Even though you're experiencing hell right now, are you not? You're still saved. You still got the new life inside of you. So I don't ever lose that perspective of heaven, of who I am, and I'm entangling this situation right now. Your worship, your praise, all that stuff keeps us in that place. So when I'm ministering to people, we do it from a perspective of that we are born again. We are born again. We are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Above all else, all things are new. So when we talk about behavior, and this is one of Graham Cook's fun, great things. He says, you cannot become a new person by changing your behavior. You discover the person you already are in Christ and behave accordingly. You discover the person you are. You discover the person you are. That is so important. This is who you are. Sometimes we're grabbing for things that we think we're not. And that's the lie of the enemy. That's the lie that keeps you in the dark. He says, this is not you. It's a lie. That's what he's best at. He's deceiver. But it's from the standpoint as, yes, you are. You have everything you need inside us. This is back to the shift. Right now. So the question you need to ask yourself when things happen is one of the great things we can ask is, Father God, what do you want to reveal about who I am and who you are right now in this situation? Because right now I see all hell is breaking loose and there are distractions, as it says in the prophetic word, there are distractions to my left and to my right. What is going to keep me grounded? And if I think for 2 seconds that there's something wrong with me, I'm going to get knocked off. Right? There's something wrong with you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. What is missing is your experience with God and who you are right now. That's what's missing. So God wants to show up right now in your life when all's hell's breaking loose. It doesn't change that God's not on the throne. It doesn't change that you're his son. It doesn't change that you're not saved. Even though all hell's breaking loose and all these things are going on, it doesn't change that. So you attack that situation perspective is, God, I know that I'm your son, I'm your daughter in the Most High God. Who is it you want to be? How do you want to invade the hell that's around me right now? What do you want to use me for? What do you want to do? And that's where prayer and everything is so, the priorities of life is so powerful, because it says now we got a choice. In Ephesians 4, 22, 24, it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Listen up. Don't read over this and miss it, because I've read this a lot. It says, rather, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. It's in the Bible. It's who you are. And from that perspective, when you convince and when you tell people who they really are, behave accordingly. Behave as one who's saved. Behave as Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why Paul was continually focusing on that place. I am born again believer. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing my behavior to change my circumstances. I come into alignment again with the prophetic word. The earth is feeling the symptoms of birth pains as I bring things into alignment. I want you to see how I see you right now. And the Bible is full of so many stories. How do I see you right now? It doesn't have anything to do with the way you feel. It's how heaven sees you right now in this place. When your heart breaks for something, and you begin to see whether it's a thing on abortion or all this, there are two things. You could pick up the old man, you could start trying in your own natural way, or you begin to release heaven into that situation, gates, and you begin to release love. And there were these people at the gates that began to release love to the people that were going in these clinics. It's like they began to release heaven, and it kept the door open. So when things broke through, guess where they ran to? Where did they run to? They ran to the people that showed unconditional love, which is the vessel that we carry, which brought us to the Lord. The unconditional love that came when we were born again. When we were born again, as Noe was just talking about, man, I didn't feel rejected. I didn't feel hated. I didn't feel lost. I felt the love of God. I felt the peace of God. I felt the strength of God. I felt the joy of God. The fruits of the Spirit came in like a flood and lifted me up. As you so receive Christ, therefore walk as it. None of that's changed in your life right now. That's still who you are. And the information that comes at us and the things that we go through is constantly pulling at you. Say, don't get into that. So when you watch things, I mean, this movie, you say, well, what is it? Your life opens up an opportunity whether or not you're going to walk in that new person or you're going to decide to just walk in the old man. I call it the old man. You're going to pick up the dead things. Well, this is the way I used to do it. This is the way I used to do drugs to make it go away. I used to that. Are you choice? Or you can take the new life and you can say, this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to put on some worship. I'm going to get in the joy. I'm going to find it because it's for me. And that's the whole thing. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance, as we went back to the first scripture. It belongs to you. Oh, I just talked so much there. Oh. The problem is we don't know what belongs to us. And you fight and you fight with things that are the old way I used to do things. And he says, in this season of time, I want you to open up your eyes to heaven, and I want to show you heaven's perspective on your life, on you. Some of you, sometimes I can't even receive one good word about your life. There's something wrong with that. When you say, man, you're an awesome person, you say, no, I'm not. Well, who said that? Who told you that? Who told you you were a loser? Why do you feel like a loser? It's impossible for you to be a loser. It is. You know why? Because Jesus is with you. Jesus is in you. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Well, you can't be a loser. Those two things don't exist in the same place. It's impossible. It is. So somewhere you make a decision, say, I am not going to listen to that thing. And the beauty of the cross about being born again is you can literally, the word says it's like a two-edged sword. It separates all that junk and it cuts it off and say, you know what? No more am I going to look in the mirror and see devalued, ugly, those things. Nowhere I'm going to cut that off. Nowhere am I going to sit back and say, I can't do anything, because that doesn't exist in you, because in Christ all things are possible and you are in Christ. So somewhere you make a decision and you draw the line and say, I'm going to live the born-again life. This is who I am. This is who God made me. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to start declaring, because you know what? Those old things are dragging me down and they're dead and they have no right to be connected to me anymore, because it was paid for by the cross. Somewhere in life, there's something that plagues the new believer constantly, and it's like a dead carcass trying to hold on to the last seconds of life. And as Christians, we got to rise up, and we say, those things have been paid for and bought with the Christ. Enough is enough. It's done. That's good preaching. Don't all get too excited at the same time. I can't hear myself think. Ha, I know. We need to know where he's taking us and where we're going, and I'm excited about it. But you cannot allow the distractions of this world, the things that are in this life, to get you. You find your place, and when Noe was worshiping, find your place in worship, find your place in prayer, find your place in the Lord, because we can go to the throne room of grace because of who we are in Christ. And it's from that platform we begin to engage all these situations. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have that, that's priority number one, is to find the peace of God. It's not when the circumstances change. Don't pray, God, get me out of here. He might want you there right now, because he wants to reveal something to you that you don't see yet. And the only way you see it is in that place, because you discover that all these natural things going on me is not the real source. The source is from heaven. And I want to come into alignment. Let's stand up this morning. I want to come into alignment of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you change this country? You know how you stop abortion? You know how you stop all these things that just drive you crazy? You turn people to the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ that Noe was just talking about. In a moment of time, people begin to realize that all those things in life that was holding us down no longer can hold you down, because Christ, our Lord Jesus Savior, took it to the cross. Come on. Father God, come on. When your heart breaks, there's a reason for it. When your heart breaks for the lost babies, there's a reason for it. It's not because you can't do anything. It's because you've been equipped to release heaven on earth. And the enemy would say you can't do nothing. The enemy would make you frustrated and say he's like a Goliath, knowing his time is drawing near. And the lies of discouragement and doubt and unbelief, they belong in the grave. He's been defeated. I don't interact with that anymore. I don't breathe life in that anymore. I breathe life and I raise up, I love that song, a hallelujah, in the middle of my mess. And I declare and decree over my life and over my surroundings that the Lord God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, sent his son Jesus, hallelujah, to establish a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And I, as a son and a daughter, as the Most High God, am equipped and empowered by the Spirit to release his power on earth. I speak life and joy. I speak the light. As the gal in the abortion clinic that saw the light, Lord, we release the light of truth to that person. Come on, there are people around you that you've been equipped to release life. That you are equipped and you are, and your inheritance is to stand in the peace that passes all understanding. Father God, right now I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding in my life. Hallelujah. With everything going around right now, God, you established, hallelujah, a dwelling place in my life of peace, Lord, by your Spirit, that doesn't have to ever leave me. Come on. Heads of homes, fathers, kids, you declare it over your life that my house I'm in my Father's house. It's your house, God. Lord Jesus, this situation right now, there's situations we lift it up to the Lord. Come on, Father God, you are King. I am your child. We are free to be children of the light, Lord. Come on. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of our salvation. God, I thank you that at this moment right now, no matter how I feel, the truth is, Lord, that you can reveal truth to me about my situation, about who I am. You know, Jake talked last week about repentance. And one of a great definition of repentance is have a new thought about that situation. And let's make an exchange right now for what God thinks. Come on. Let's get heaven's perspective right now. And let it settle in our hearts. Father God, right now, where there's been absolute no love, Lord Jesus, we speak the love of God to come in like a flood and restore our hearts. Places where it says, Jesus, that you came to heal the brokenhearted. Lord God, where there are issues, Lord Jesus, I thank you right now that the cross took it all. And that right now I can put on the new life in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for such significance. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your peace. Man. I think there's such a powerful thing going on in your heart right now. There's such a powerful thing going on in the hearts of his people. Because it seems like so long there's been something that we fight. Or like this gal was in the dark and so much going on. But the Lord is brought to bring light. And I hear the Lord say, it's okay. I really felt the weight of it all just being lifted, saying, it's okay. Help, let me show you something. And with every, I just right now, Lord, we just lift our hands, Father God. Let him show you something. Let him show you something about you. Come on. Your worth isn't what you do. Your worth is who you are. There is a release to just be the child of God and fall in the loving arms of God. Again, as Noah's just bringing us back to the love that just surrounds us and the freedom. Lord God, let us not lose that. Restore it. Restore it. Rekindle it and refire it, Lord. Hallelujah. It belongs to you, Lord Jesus. It belongs to us, Father. Thank you for our inheritance, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. David and Diane, would you come up here? And Linda, I want you to go and I want you to pray for Linda for the next 25 years of her life, just the ministry call that's on her life. If you would just do that, we're going to dismiss, but there's something here. The next session on our Eagle calendar is coaching. Can you be a coach? And that'd be the challenge, again, of a born-again experience. Could you be a coach of bringing people to the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Could you do that? And I really feel that Dave and Diane is going to take up a mantle that is on them towards you, Linda, and in the years to come, you're going to feel that strength that they're releasing today, right now. Hallelujah. 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 I've got some other stuff going on here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeff, would you come? Prophet, come on here. I want you to pray for this couple. Emmanuel, his wife, and his child. Would you just pray right there? There's something there that I really believe that Jeff has there's a prophetic thing, Emmanuel, even with your little one. as Emmanuel, God with you. And that's what the prophets brings into the house, God with us. And so we're just releasing, we're releasing that. I know that we had a dedication of little Emmanuel, but there is a dedication in the Holy Spirit. And would you just go and begin to minister to them? Hallelujah. 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 Bethany, would you go over to our sister here, with the Grendons? Would you just pray for Paulette right now? The power of an unleashed God. God is not on a leash. All power, all authority. And Bethany's going to minister that right now. In the name of Jesus, to Paulette. Hallelujah. Jim, would you take up and pray for this beautiful couple over here? Hallelujah. There's some prophetic things that Jim carries, and one of them is great, great faithfulness. And when he picks something up, whether it be the cross of Jesus Christ, which he's walked across the nation with, there's something about it in the realms of faithfulness that are going to be an impartation to you with this prayer that he's praying over you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I know, Diane, you got the spirit of the spirit of healing upon you. And even the touch that you have to Linda, there is a healing realm that's going on. And some of it is generational things that need to be broken, and some things that need to be opened up. Wow, that's interesting. I think I had an angel touch me. Oh, that's cool. Josh, would you come up here? Hallelujah. Tom, you do some ministry here. There's a tremendous call of God upon Josh's life. In fact, I see right now, as Tom laid hands on you, I see you almost getting groomed. It's a new start. It's a new day in your life. The job situation was, you know, you were down in the pit. And I almost see a Gideon coming to this place and saying, you know, I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm gonna be the man that you'd called me to be. And sometimes it's old things that Pastor Tom was sharing today. It was old things that were holding you back, and you had to get out of the pit. And I see Gideon there in that realm, you know, thrashing out a deal in a place where it was a tough place to be. But God is going to bring you out in the open. And I almost see like you're preparing, he's preparing you for ministry. And you'd say, well, God, who am I? Well, just exactly what we heard this morning, that's who you are. You're not the old one. As Noy said, on this one hand, there was that old life. And in the other hand was the Bible and the praise and worship of the saints of God. I see you grabbing everything that God has for you, and it's transformation time. And that's why you went to Arctic. I when I talked to you this morning, it was like harvest field, harvest field, harvest field. And God is going to show you, and you're going to be, it's going to be a different thing, just like working at Arctic would be a different thing. But I see you calling in the lame, the brokenhearted, the busted up, the emotional bankrupt people in that area, calling them in to a time of great repentance. And as I thought, the thought that as Tom brought, what does repentance mean? You know, have a different thought. Come on, this is who you are. This is who you are. And I know that what I see is power of persecution, that you will be persecuted, but the power through persecution you'll get the results that comes. And I see myself years back when I went and got that sign stuck on the side of my truck, Jesus is Lord, because a Jehovah Witness challenged me about my faith. He said, you got a little Jesus but a big Jacobson. And so it just irritated me so much. So I got big letters on the side of my truck, said Jesus is Lord, Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It literally about killed me driving down the road, because there was something about being persecuted for the gospel's sake that was so powerful. And I see you in all power and authority. Your testimony is going to be a Jesus testimony. And I even hear your name being Jesus Man. That's what they're going to call you. And some of it's going to be in fun. I mean, making fun of you. But they will see Jesus Man. It's almost like I see you with a cape on. Here comes Jesus Man. So receive that. Hallelujah. Yeah, right there, Linda. That's right there. Right there. That's a good picture. Take a picture. Somebody take a picture. Somebody got a camera? I do. Except I've got the mic, so somebody take a picture of that. Hallelujah. You got your... Okay. Man, David's on plan. Right there. Well, Father, we release your blessings upon this congregation, upon this church. Intercession, very important. Wednesday night, I repented. This last Saturday, we had prayer meeting here that we've carried on for about 39 years. Every Saturday, we've had prayer meeting, men's prayer meeting. And so next week, ladies, we're going to have a men and women's prayer meeting on Saturday, because Steve's going to be speaking to us. So you're invited to that. We can change things. Why not? You know, that's what we do. Ladies, you're invited to that time. And you can Wednesday nights. Oh yeah, I was talking about repentance. I repented that I would make it to prayer meeting every Wednesday night, not intentionally. And okay, this last Wednesday, I was going to go out and drag the parking lot because it was getting kind of tough because the buses were driving in. And I drove out, and here I seen the cars at prayer meeting. It was unintentional. I've done this about three times. So I repented on Saturday morning, and I said, I'm going to go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night intentionally. So if you're wanting to come out for prayer, it's about an hour. Jim and Mary are leading that up. And I believe that it's going to be a powerful testimony of what God's going. And I released persecution to this body, tribulation to this body, because this is what it's going to take to bring the people out of their shells, so to speak, because they've lived in there so long. And you will be persecuted, but if you go through the persecution, you'll get the fruit. All right? You know, like if you go out in a cornfield and you start picking corn, you're gonna be working and laboring, and it's gonna be tough. But at the end of the day, you got a lot of corn. And I really believe that that's what God. So, Father, we ask, Lord, for tribulation for this church. We ask for persecution for this church and upon the individuals of this church, that persecution will come, that we will see shells broken, and the fruit that's in those shells are going to come out and live new life. Are you ready for that? Anyone sign up for persecution, tribulation? Hey, if you don't sign up, doesn't make any difference. It's coming to you anyway. If you go half, as they say, half rear-ended, you're gonna still have that type of deal. So let's be the men and women that will go through persecution and tribulation, come out the other end with another thought. We win, you lose, and we're taking the fruit from that. God bless you. May you walk in the power of God this next week. Be blessed in everything that you do. You're dismissed. Anyone that is needing any other type of prayer, please come And we'll pray because prayer works. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.